Right, so back in September and December of last year, Sushil talked about singing. Why do we sing? And I'm going to basically carry on from that. So why do we sing on a Sunday? So I've got the first bit of paper, which is sing or singing. So some of the definitions I Googled are belt out, render or perform. But we're not here to perform. Anyway, I'll come back to the numbers in a minute. Right, so why do we sing? Well, the first one is because we're commanded to. Right, let's look at Psalm 95. Ooh, right, Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. I won't go through the last bit, I'll just... Right, so again, I'm going to carry on to Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. I'll come to the second half of that later. Right, so we're commanded to sing. Right, so on my bit of paper, you've got a 50 there. Now, depending on which translation of the Bible you use, that can range anywhere between 50 and 400. And when it says sing, it's not a request. It's not, would you like to? It is a command to sing. It's not a harsh command. It is not sing or else, or I'm going to beat you with a big stick. But it's like an encouragement. It's an exhortation. I'm using big words. It's like an encouragement to sing, to give praises to our God who is worthy. Let's read Psalm 84. I'm in the Psalms a lot today. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns for him, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have a young, a place near your altar. O Lord God Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have their hearts on pilgrimage. I'll come back to that as well in a minute. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they will make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Amen. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with sounds, shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan. I won't continue with that. Right, so to put that psalm into context, from what I understand, this guy was probably a Levite. He was in exile. So he's in a strange land, but he was probably someone that ministered in the temple. And he's longing again for the temple, longing for that day when he can sing the praise of God in his temple. Right, so I mentioned pilgrimage in that psalm. And I think it's about three times a year the Israelites were commanded to go to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices and... to offer sacrifices. So if we look at, I think it was Psalm 100... Yeah, we've had this already. Right, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues for all generations. So when the Israelites were approaching Jerusalem, now Jerusalem is on a hill, so the temple would be on a hill. I don't know if you know, but the Psalms 120 to 134 are called Psalms of Ascent. So they would sing these psalms as they were ascending into the city. So obviously when he said, let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise, this is literally what they were doing. They were singing psalms, songs, and hymns together. Another psalm says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Literally. And it's him with clean hands and a pure heart. So what they were doing, they were preparing themselves to enter into that holy place. Another reason why we sing is because we're speaking truth. A lot of what, I mean, Jan said it this morning, a lot of what we sing is truth. It's that we're either singing scripture, and as we sing, it's not just a vocal expression. It's a focusing on that truth. So faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We don't just speak truth. You can sing truth over yourselves. As you sing the words, you basically absorb them and meditate on them and grow in them. Let it become a truth. Let it become real. Psalm 100. 107, I think it's verse 2, says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It does. let's sing out. Let's declare God's goodness. Right, so if you're brave enough, and I've given you a bit of paper, if you're brave enough, would you want to come out one at a time? Jonathan, do you want to come out? Come on then, Simon. Leah, you're brave enough to come out. What about Karen? You're brave enough to come out? Right, so just hold them up. Oh, and Sylvia. Right, so what I've got here are different expressions of singing. We have different types of prayer. We've got different types of singing. So a word we don't use that often is ascribe. And I've got some definitions of the word. A tribute, assign, credit, or give. So we sang one song that, you know, God is good, God is faithful. You're ascribing faithfulness and goodness to God. Yeah? So another word, I didn't know whether this was a U or an A, so I put an A. So that's exalt. And again, the definition to exalt is to revere, hold in high regard, to acclaim, hold in awe. And another one is worship, to revere, to honor, respect, glorify, to praise, to applaud, admire, pay tribute, cheer, extol, praise enthusiastically, rave blessings on. That's what I put. Rave blessings on. So all these are expression of song, of singing. We're giving praise to God. We're giving exaltation to his goodness and kindness. We're thanking him for his faithfulness. We're treasuring all those things in our heart. And out of the abundance of that heart, not only the mouth speaks, but the mouth will sing and give glory to God. You're free to go. Right, so I had singing or sing, and if you notice at the bottom, I've got a number down there. So those numbers were how many times that particular word appeared in the Bible. So if you add them up, the extol, the praise, the worship, they all come to roughly 989. So I need one volunteer now to read all 980. No, I don't. No, I don't. Right, so I can find it. Where is it? Habakkuk. Right, look. Don't worry about Habakkuk. It says, even though... I've got to find it. I've got it here somewhere. Habakkuk 3. No, it's not. I've lost it. Yeah, no, where's it got, even though there are no figs on the vine? That's Habakkuk, isn't it? Anyway, I've got it here somewhere. Habakkuk 3:17. All right, yeah, that's right. It's just written differently in mine. Right, so though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my salvation. We need to be a yet people. We need to be a people that say, doesn't matter if I've got no money in the bank, my health isn't good, my family life's not so good, we've got problems left, right and centre, yet I will praise my God. See, this is my journey with worship, to be honest. This is my journey. I mean, you all know me, I've had lots of things go wrong and there have been problems, but I've been a yet person, and I believe God wants to say, let's all be a yet I will praise you person. Yet I will praise you. Another reason why we sing is for victory. Let's go to Acts 16. Acts 16:25. I love this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains come loose. Right now, so let's be honest. Who at midnight would be praising God in prison? Not me. But Paul and Silas not only had this yet will I attitude, they were singing so loud that the prisoners heard them. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that every time you're in prison, the chains are going to fall off and you'll walk out. But what I am guaranteeing is if you give praise to God, if you do lift him up, spiritual chains will be loosened. Mental chains will be loosened. You will walk free because you're not centering on yourself. You're centering on him who is worthy to be praised. Right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. I can find Christ. Here we are. I won't read all of it. It's quite long. Oh. And right, so I'll edit this basically because it's quite long. Right, so King Jehoshaphat and his city were surrounded by three armies. Now, they were great in number and too many, obviously, for Jehoshaphat and his army to handle. So Jehoshaphat called the people together and said, Lord, what are we going to do? And somebody, a prophet came and said, look, the battle's not yours. The battle's God's. He will fight on your behalf. And it says, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out at the head of the army. Can you imagine that? You're going against three armies and Jehoshaphat sends out singers first. I don't think I'd volunteer for that one. But you know what I mean. But that was a promise from God. If you worship, if you praise, if you obey what I'm saying today, if you're faithful in this. And it says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Three armies got defeated because men started to sing. But that was God, and God promised that this battle's not yours, it's mine. And your battles are not yours, they're his. But what I will say is, you will need to still face those enemies. But bring it from a place of faithfulness, bring it from a place of praise, bring it from a place of obedience to God. Lift him up. Give him the praise, give him the glory. Don't worry about the enemies. They're God's problem, not yours. Give God your problems, give God your circumstances, give God every single detail of your life. Concentrate on him. Put him first, him alone. I keep saying this, less of us, more of him. That is the way, I won't say forward, but I'm going to say forward. But that is the way forward. Let's open our mouths. Let's declare that God is good. God is faithful. God is just. His ways are perfect. And all the rest of it. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord even sing so. I'm trying to encourage us to not just sing a song, not just come in a place of a filler before the word or whatever. It's not a filler before the word. We are coming to worship the living God. We are coming to bow the knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm saying this myself, obviously, as well. But let's come to a place where God is first. Us last, God first. Let's just come to a place of worshipping Him. Amen. Sorry, I missed a quote. Right, some people are so obsessed about praise coming authentically from the heart that they forget to let it out of their mouths. I'm worshipping in my heart, brother, they will say. But it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. God doesn't want praise to be only in our heart. He wants the praise to be in your mouth as well. Inner praise, of course, can be beautiful and intimate. But outer praise also acts as a weapon. Praise in the mouth of a believer releases the arsenal of heaven into the atmosphere around you, binding the enemy and bringing the kingdom of God into your situation. Now it's amen.
Amen.